There's a scene I love in the book The Color Purple by Alice Walker, where two women are talking. This is the conversation they had, and please excuse my poor accent. Saley, one of the two, complains. The God I've been praying and writing to is a man, and he acts like all the other men I've known, trifling, forgetful, and low down. Shoots says, Saley, you better hush. God might hear you. Well, let him hear me, I say. If you ever listen to the poor colored women, the world will be a different place. I can tell you that. All my life, I never cared what people thought about nothing I did, I say. But deep in my heart, I care about God. What are you going to think? And I come to find out he don't think, just sitting up there glorying and being deep, I reckon. But it ain't easy trying to do without God, even if you know he ain't there. Trying to do without him is a strength. Here's the thing, says she, the thing I believe. God is inside you and inside everybody else. You come into the world with God, but only them that search for it inside find it. And sometimes it just manifests itself even if you're not looking or don't know what you're looking for. Trouble do it for most folk, I think. Shug goes on. My first step away from that old white man was the trees, then the air, then the birds, then other people. And one day when I was sitting quiet and feeling like a motherless child, which I was, it come to me, that feeling of being part of everything, not separate at all. I knew that if I cut a tree, my arm would bleed. Well, us talk and talk and talk about God, and I'm still adrift, trying to chase that old white man out of my head. I've been so busy thinking about him, I never truly noticed nothing God made. Not a blade of corn. How's God do that? Not the color purple in a field. Where does that come from? Not the little wildflowers. Nothing. Now that my eyes are open, I feel like a fool. Next to any tiny little shrub of a bush in my yard, all the world's evil. So it's true. It might seem odd that on this feast day, the Feast of the Trinity, which is one of the most profound and deep of all of the mysteries, it might seem odd that we begin with a reflection of two people talking. And yet, that probably is exactly the right place to start. Because one of the royal roads to the truth is reflecting on our experience of God. And that's what Miss Saley had to do. She had to reflect on her experience of God as she came to understand that God could not be that old white man with a long beard sitting on a throne in heaven. And so she had to drive out that image in order to have a genuine encounter with God. It was her experience of meeting God in the beauty of nature that enabled her to have a genuine encounter with God. And really that experience that Shug and Saley describe in their conversation is a constant in the life of the church. Just think about those first followers of Jesus. They're all people that believe in the one God. And yet, as they reflected on their experience, the experience that they had as they followed Jesus, they came to understand that the only way that God was by loving them. And Jesus named that kind of love that they received from God, the one he called his Father. And that enabled them to recognize that God was God because they were the children of God, heirs to the promise. God's love was unconditionally given. And that encounter with Jesus, especially as they experienced him as dying and then rising, showed them that God was with them in a very particular way. And because God was with him, because there was this unbreakable bond between Jesus and God, they could name that bond the Son. As God's love was manifest, and as Jesus was that manifestation, it was the Son. And as they had further experiences and Jesus rose to heaven and was no longer to walk the dusty roads with them, they still knew how close he was to them. He was still guiding them and walking with them and being with them. And that experience helped them to name the fact that there was an ongoing, there was a sustaining way that Jesus was in their midst. And they came to call that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. And so these first followers of Jesus then came to see that God, in order to be God, was a loving Father, was a Son who was with them, and a Spirit who sustained them. It was their experiences that helped them to understand what God was really like. And that reality of the early church then showed them that they, like Miss Sally, had to chase away, had to eliminate any false image of God as somehow or other above it all, sitting on a throne, unlike us. No, the God that they met was the God who was active, a God who pursued them, a God who went out to meet them in love. And so they started to name this God. They named this God as the one who was always loving them and who shared that love, manifested that love in Jesus, and sustained that love in their hearts, as Father, Son, and Spirit. And they called this experience of God the Trinity, because it was a way of saying, well, we still have this one God, but our experience lets us know that God has loved us, that God is loving us, and that God will love us. We went back again and realized that it's simply not a matter of reciting a creed or knowing a catechism, but it's a matter of going back and grounding how you encounter God in your own experience and naming it in a very specific way. And what about us, where we are today? We hear this gospel today, St. Matthew's gospel, where Jesus gives us this commandment in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the commandment is to teach all that I commanded you to do. Right? That's what this is his last will and testament. This is St. Matthew's gospel, the end of the gospel, right before Jesus leaves this world to sit at the right hand of the throne of heaven. And he's giving these final instructions. So to teach all that I commanded you. Well, what did Jesus teach? What did Jesus command? He certainly commanded that we follow the Ten Commandments. We should observe those, and that's a good thing to do. And Jesus taught us to observe the fact that we are to love one another, and that's certainly a good thing to do. But in the text itself, in St. Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus wants to give like a concrete illustration of what they're supposed to be teaching, what they're supposed to be handing on, what he's commanding them to observe. He says, observe that I will be with you always. That's what you have to teach people. That's what they have to observe. I will be with you always. So on this day, on this Trinity Sunday, we have to discover, we have to go into our own experience, we have to look at the ways that Jesus is with us, certainly in our sacraments, in the Eucharist, in the Word of God, in our fellowship, but most particularly, we have to find that presence of God, that Jesus is with us, and the love we bear, since God is love. Wherever love is, God is. So this day, and every day, let us have the eyes to see. Let us have the ability to reflect on our own experience and discover that God is with us. Amen.